Welcome to Bibliocracy. I'm your host, Andrew Tonkovich, editor of the Santa Monica Review and founding editor of Citric Acid, Orange County's unlikeliest online literary arts journal. I'm also a proud member of the Community of Writers, a nonprofit which sponsors summer writing workshops and year-round programming on the art and craft of writing. Thanks to the Community of Writers for production support and for hosting Bibliocracy as a podcast. For more on its work, visit communityofwriters.org to find workshop schedules, online programming, community news, and more. My guest today is Julie Schumacher, here to talk about and read from the final book in a trilogy which has earned its place on the shelf with other favorites in the weird, wonderful genre of academic satire, right next to Richard Russo's Straight Man and, as it happens, her first two novels chronicling the cheerfully doomed life of one Professor Jason Fitger, a divorced professor of English and creative writing, stalled-out writer, and all-around sourpuss, if for good reason, or at least good enough, by which we mean bad. The English Experience, out from Doubleday, follows Dear Committee Members and The Shakespeare Requirement, in which Schumacher engages and exploits and critiques nearly every possible and impossible complication or challenge facing our compromised, but in his way, committed hero, except for a travel abroad program sponsored by Payne University. Yes, P-A-Y-N-E, but pronounced P-A-I-N, for which Fitger, exactly the wrong faculty member, is chosen, meaning coerced into, as teacher and chaperone. I hope you can hear the delight in my voice when talking about this novel. Julie Schumacher is the author of three Jason Fitger novels, winner of the Thurber Prize for American Humor, and author of a fourth novel, The Body is Water. She teaches in, where else? The Department of English at the University of Minnesota. I'm so pleased to welcome her back to Bibliocracy. Hi, Julie.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this is an extremely fun book, but it's also worth noting that it's an exercise in you experimenting with different rhetorical approaches. So not to immediately distract from all the hilarity and the politics, but I think it's important to shout out that as a writer, you chose not to embrace the same form each time. So maybe you could talk about that. The first book was innovative and brilliant, gave us a kind of psychological insight into how Jason constructs his world through this passive-aggressive, what we English department types call epistolary model. And that just wowed everybody. You won the big prize. And it seemed to be, to me, such an elegant and importantly gorgeous show-offiness of your skill. It was just a kind of empowerment of the reader to imagine that they could be such a jerk as Jason. But then in the subsequent books, you've had to find other ways to tell the story.
Yeah, I started Dear Committee Members as an experiment in form. That was how it began. I had actually written five novels for younger readers because I got stuck after The Body is Water. I am not a person who is happy trying to choose and construct a plot. Plot and structure are my weak points as a writer. And so in turning back toward writing for adults after my own kids grew up and were no longer an in-house audience, I thought I need a bit of a crutch. And the crutch I chose was the letter of reference. It just felt like a reassurance to me. I set up a pair of very severe guardrails for myself and said, you've got to stay within these and somehow create a character. That's where Jason Fitger came from. He was an outgrowth of that experiment in form and structure. When I started the second of the trilogy, The Shakespeare Requirement, initially I wanted another form. I wanted another big set of guardrails for myself. I began that book As a chair's log, Ficker's ex-wife Janet was going to give him a blank book and tell him, "You're going to be a terrible department chair, but the least you can do is write things down and keep track of them." And she was going to annotate his log, but it just felt like it was lying dead in the water. My editor didn't like it. He said, "It's too much like the first one. You need to do something different with this guy." So I started that one over, and I had two simultaneous versions of that novel going at the same time, driving myself nuts. So it's mainly much more in the form of a traditional novel, you know, third person, multiple points of view for various weird faculty characters. In starting the English experience, I should say it never occurred to me I was going to write a trilogy. I just couldn't get Jason Ficker out of my head. I fell in love with him. But I thought, no, I've got to use a form again, and the students haven't quite had their day yet in the first two books. There are students, but they're not center stage, and I wanted to give the students and the form again the, you know, a moment in the sun. So I thought, okay, I construct this third of the three as in part a series of undergraduate essays.
Well, I'm so glad you got to the students part because I think it's risky, and perhaps humor and the kind of genuine empathy that you provide for all your characters is what maybe takes away a little bit of the risk of, I don't know what to call it, fetishizing or otherwise showing, quite honestly, just how weird the students are, as equally weird as the instructors. I'm especially grateful for that because students are often portrayed as these kind of uncategorizable entity. They're blank slates, which is just a whole lot of nonsense. And you bring them to life, and some of them are not very nice people, which, surprise, is a microcosm of society and of teachers and of universities. And you give them their voice through their, God help us, their writing. And it sounds to me like you've read a lot of undergraduate essays.
I have read a lot of undergraduate essays, and I did think I worried a bit about the form in terms of it being a risk to punch down, perhaps, to be satirizing 18, 19-year-olds who don't write well, as well as satirizing my usual faculty and admin characters. But, you know, when I started this third book, I began with very general ideas of who the students would be. I thought, okay, I'll have a lovelorn couple, and I'll have, you know, somebody who's had a very difficult past. I'll have someone who would be homesick and afraid to leave the safety of her usual environment. But these were categories, and I feel like a lot of my job as a writer is to empathize and to humanize people who I think in my own view, as well as in Jason Ficker's, start out as a bunch of students. But again, my job is to take, quote, a bunch of students and individualize them, complicate them, allow the reader to see them not as a bunch of aggravating kids, as Jason Ficker initially does, but, you know, just people with whom you need to empathize because they're struggling. You know, everybody struggles in one way or another, and, you know, they struggle. Jason Ficker struggles. He begins to see them in, I think, the way I want the reader to begin to see them, as totally worthy of our attention and notice.
And one of the keys to illustrating and characterizing is your embrace of idiom. And you must just hear at a kind of sensitivity that, well, I guess that writers have, but you in particular have, because you introduce us to the way the students talk, write, the way they assume and assess and embrace the world, which of course drives Jason, who's kind of an old fart, a little bit crazy, but it's so honest the way you get idiom. One of the most difficult challenges for anyone entering the expectation world of academic writing or even just communicating with other people is learning a language. And that's a real struggle for these students who text or who don't text, who have their own strange and new and innovative ways of speaking. And boy, you took careful notes, Julie.
I'm Fitker-esque, I guess, in that I do feel like I belong to a generation that is going to fade off into the horizon and disappear like the dinosaur. I don't love texting. I don't do Instagram and Twitter or X, or I feel like I just belong to an earlier era. And I gave that feeling to Fitker in terms of trying to communicate with his students and trying to convey to them, yes, you can text and tweet and everything else, but you need to be able to write. I did create one student in particular, Brent, who is probably the least skilled writer among this group of students. But I wanted to create a particular empathy for him because he confesses at one point that he decides he's going to be a writer. He wants to be a writer, but he writes so badly. And I certainly have had that experience in other areas, math nearly killed me when I was in high school. I never got past, algebra 2 or whatever it was. So I understand the feeling of trying hard and struggling to be good at something and still not being good at it, which is a feeling I gave to poor Brent.
Well, I'm glad you alluded to the plot, as it were, because Jason is coerced, shamed, persuaded. He has to substitute for somebody who's pulled out. And the reason the book is titled The English Experience, a novel by Julie Schumacher, is because of these, I don't know what to call them, sometimes self-flattering, sometimes genuinely kind of world-opening trips that institutions offer their students. And of all places, he takes them to England, and a worse chaperone could not be imagined. He's estranged from his wife, but they still sort of put up with each other, and she cares for him. And you and I have conspired to introduce a couple of these students who are in the travel abroad. What's the name of the program again? Experience Abroad?
Experience colon England.
The experience so colon
stand the
England.
Fact that there's a colon between those two words. It drives them crazy.
Yes, for all kinds of reasons. And you take a hilarious advantage of academia speak, marketing speak, tourism speak, and all the rest, along with, it should be said in advance, some really remarkable, genuine experiences which managed to happen to the kids. And of course, I'm not giving anything away to Jason. So maybe you'd like to start by sharing with us a section early on where one student has to write to the Experience Abroad office. Here's Julie Schumacher reading from The English Experience.
Felicity Babinick, Statement of Interest. Dear Experience Abroad Office, my name is Felicity Babinick, and I am applying for the Experience England program with Professor Lortimer in January. I took Survey of American History with Professor Lortimer last year and enjoyed it a lot. He did a magic show to make a point about the War of 1812 that was not like anything in a classroom I ever saw. At Payne, I am majoring in elementary education, kindergarten, or first grade. My interest in England is that it is a place where a lot of poets are from. I love to write poems, and sometimes I read them too when I have the time. Although I have never been out of the U.S., I am eager to set my foot in foreign lands. Seeing and understanding other cultures will be important to my teaching career. My personality is shy, but I am easy to get along with, I think. That is one of my strengths. One of my weaknesses is I am not as brave as I should be. I will be nervous when the plane takes off, but that is something I am working on. Thanks. One final word about me is that I have never been away from Mrs. Gray. She is my cat.
There's a lovely little poem there at the end by our charmingly clueless, but kind of genuine and committed Felicity. And I'm so pleased and delighted by how you simultaneously kind of send up the poor writing skills and the limited worldview of a young person, but how there's just enough there to see the potential, the vulnerability, and the possibility. It's just wonderful, Julie, how all of us, especially when we're young, try in some way to connect to something. So she's going to insist her way into telling us about this cat, which is a hilarious punchline throughout the novel. But it also turns out that her need to express herself will come to some fruition in the book. And I just have to say, I don't think I gave away the whole book, because the book is it's a combination of satire and empathy, which is that wonderful razor's edge, which, let's just be clear, as English teachers, we're always there, right?
Always, always, always. Yeah, I just didn't want to be in the position of making fun of these people without having any care for them. And I think Fitger, again, he doesn't want to go to England. He hates England. He doesn't want to chaperone these students. He doesn't want to teach this class at all. But he can't help eventually, you know, just they worm their way into his affections, despite himself, despite his curmudgeonliness. He can't help it. And I wanted to show that potential, I think, from the very start, that there's a hapless quality to these letters of interest that the students need to submit at the start. But there are seeds within each of those letters that indicate, yes, a sort of yearning, a need to connect, as you say, with each of them.
Yeah. One of the elements that I like is the setting, because correct me if I'm wrong, but Payne University is a public university.
I don't know that I ever specify what it is. I think I, you know, it's a Midwestern university. You know, maybe I think of it as 10 to 15,000 students.
For me, this book offered a kind of respite from the easy poking of fun at people of privilege. So whether you intend it or not, there's an excellent cross section here, and the place seems to me closer to a school which reflects a broader demographic than, say, as offered in a certain TV show which ran a couple of years ago. And for some reason, the people who write TV shows, they always go to elite private universities where people seem to have problems maybe that are even easier to make fun of. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we've got working class students here. We've got a diverse representation of students. We've got kids from single family homes and from circumstances which have offered real challenge. And I'm just so grateful for that. And it also does an important thing, which at every point gives poor Jason and maybe everybody a chance to again look at individual vulnerability, individual strength, and so on. And I want to say this very important, laugh out loud, because this is the human circus in so many ways.
The human circus. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I think there's a reason there are so many academic satires out there, that it's this cosseted little world, but many, many people go through it or have some tangential relationship to it, but they don't quite see it from the inside. I wanted to show the crazy factor of the inside of it, along with, you know, the incredible importance of what people like Fitger are trying to do. He's trying to get people to write well, to communicate, to understand the beauty and the importance of language, of the arts. He's, you know, holding up a staff against this tide of STEM enthusiasm and telling people, no, that these other things really matter. They matter.
And for those of us who read into it, there's a kind of implied boostering on behalf of civic engagement, civic literacy, and whether he's explicit about it or not, or whether the students are, that's got to be a kind of a motivation for all of us who teach at this particularly fraught moment in our benighted republic. I wonder if you'd entertain one dumb question from an otherwise smart guy. How would you say, Julie Schumacher, that people, if they do, respond differently to the book as insiders or as non-academics? Or do they just get it on both sides?
The people I hear from most often about these books are usually academics, or they have some role in academia, their administration, their faculty, their students. Those are the people who send me emails and say, oh my God, you must have visited my college or my university. But that said, I do hear from lawyers, people in businesses who feel that they are sort of battling against a kind of constraint of sorts. They encounter red tape or other frustrations with, you know, bureaucracy or, you know, whatever whatever things dog them at the workplace. And tell me about those things. Lots of high school English teachers who write many, many letters of reference have told me about their frustration. So I think people experience sometimes a bit of a catharsis. The people who experience that catharsis are more often involved somehow in education.
Well, and you have such insider expertise. I mean, novels which send up or critique or analyze institutions are built on a kind of wisdom and perspective. And it always puzzles me when I was teaching that some of my colleagues didn't get the jokes. They didn't seem to apprehend the sort of trap that they were in. Granted, a trap that we'd sort of chosen, or a struggle that we'd chosen. And I feel so vindicated personally and so, you know, overjoyed that somebody else is seeing what seems obvious after 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks teaching in an institution, or just being a part of any institution which has its own eccentricities, its own mixed motives, its own passive aggressive collection of weirdos. I mean, it just resonates in so many ways. I'm so pleased to be talking with Julie Schumacher, author of most recently The English Experience. And in the early pages of the novel, Julie, we get to meet, in their own words, the students who are applying for this kooky adventure with the doomed professor who we've grown to love now in three of your novels. You want to read for us, please, the statement of interest from Wyatt Franklin?
Yes. Wyatt Franklin's statement of interest. Hey, my name is Wyatt Franklin, and I am totally psyched about our January trip to the Cayman Islands. Anthropology is not my major, but if it's the science of what makes us human, then I'm on board. What I look forward to most is the Stingray City and the Blue Iguanas. I know we will be digging stuff up during the heat of the day, but I will be ready. I will bring sunscreen. Last 4th of July, I burned my skin so bad it flaked off in chunks. I have snorkeling experience, but only in Florida, and it wasn't that good. I've never snorkeled in a bioluminescent bay like the one in Cayman, and never in turquoise water near a sunken ship. Please let me know if I will need my own snorkeling gear. Here are a couple of things about me. I am a junior majoring in health sciences. I was originally doing pre-med, but my GPA last year had a different idea. Last summer, I completed the Wilderness First Responder course, so I'm licensed for search and rescue, joint dislocations, and airway and wound management. I also used to play jazz clarinet. I sometimes suffer from depression, especially during the winter months when the dark and cold make me feel like I am being sucked every day down a bottomless well. That won't be a problem at Grand Cayman.
Of course, readers will, about three sentences in, realize poor Wyatt Franklin's misapprehension. And it's hilarious. And of course, it's Julie Schumacher, who is one of our funniest and smartest writers. This, however, is also incredibly representative of a kind of half-checked-in, half-checked-out student. And I'm just going to stop saying student and say person, because you don't have to go to school to be clueless. You can just walk around in your own neighborhood and misapprehend everything. I also just love the voice here because this is someone who hasn't quite gotten the lesson yet about the expectations of academic writing or formal writing or audience, but it's just so perfect. And boy, we're rooting for Wyatt. We really want to see how he's going to do, because some of his CV here, as it were, turns out to be very important for the plot. And I'm sorry, Julie, kind of makes you a bit of a genius by way of setting things up early on with the girl who loves her cat and the young man who has had a wilderness first responders course. And I don't know, hijinks ensue, but also with a kind of genuine and almost celebratory commitment to education, to human understanding, and to finding an end. I'm sorry to say, a conclusion to the saga of one of my favorite goofball anti-heroes, Jason Fitger. I'm just so pleased that you've brought three of these books to us, to your many fans. And I don't know what you're working on next, but you know, you've got a standing invitation to this show. And needless to say, I have gifted so many copies of your novels to my fellow academics or former and retired academics. So this is a truly heartfelt personal thank you, in addition to a thank you on behalf of your many fans. Once again, the book is The English Experience. It's the final in a trilogy, which you must purchase, steal, or check out from the library immediately. It's so good to talk with you, Julie. And thank you, Julie Schumacher, for being my guest this week on Bibliocracy.
Thank you so much.